Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back to the Edgington Post. It's Mark Edge. I'm here with Henry Raines, and, well, I'm going to kick off the third hour here talking about a topic that seems to get far more interest on the internet than it should, in my opinion, pronouns.
Pronouns.
Henry, I think we should just start on this with our opinion to begin with, as opposed to, because there's no story on this. It's just
I don't think we could have a language without pronouns. That's my opinion.
Yeah, you got to have pronouns. That's absolutely true. But now everybody wants to scramble them, right? Like, pronouns have largely been, there have been rules surrounding pronouns in the English language for a couple of centuries, but now we want to mix them up a little bit. Or some people want to mix them up a little bit. It's a tough row to hoe.
Haven't we been mixing them up all along with, like, because it used to be you and me and thee and thou, and, I mean, language changes.
It does. It absolutely changes. It rarely changes so intentionally, though. It usually changes just to be, make people happy, convenience, ease, things like that. Now that, the first thing is that there is no consensus on how it should change, right? There's like 9 different sets of pronouns out there that are non-gender pronouns.
Such as?
And then, such as like G and Z and Zer and Zer. I could look them up for
you. I thought you meant like they and them.
They and them. It's a freaking atrocity of the English language.
Oh, you got me confused.
So they, them, using they, them in the singular form, at least in the newer fashions, it certainly is used in the singular form, right? Like, there's a man, I think there's probably a person over there trying to touch that tree, and they had better be careful, it's poisonous, right? Like that, it does get used in the singular form. However, my son recently scored well on a math test, and I am so proud of them. That's a frickin' mess of a sentence, and it confuses people.
I think you just made that more skewed to what the argument than the word itself means. I can say, using your example, there is a poisonous plant over there. If someone comes over there, they need to be careful.
Yep. That's exactly right. That's a good usage.
Done anything that you just said I might be doing if I was saying something like that.
All I'm saying is that I have seen the application of they, them in replacement of he, her, he and her, and excuse me, he, him and she, her. And it is a mess.
Okay, so and I think if you preface that,
and when people act like there's some kind of hate crime that's been committed because I will not play singular plural games with them.
A hate crime.
What's that?
Who has said there is a hate crime there?
There's a fat blue haired lesbian that says so.
Excuse me?
Well,
who did you say?
Is there not?
Who did you say?
I said a fat, blue-haired lesbian.
There's nobody in that room with you. You haven't offended anybody yet.
Well, no, there's nobody in this room. But believe me, I can go online and find people that are offended because I won't use they, them. As a matter of fact, I did. That happened to me just recently on Facebook. Somebody said that everybody should use different pronouns than you like on you then. I'm like, go ahead.
See, it's taken us 2 hours because really at the beginning of this, when you were trying to tell the audience what we were trying to do here, what you would like us to do and what this might be, you said there we both would have strong opinions and we both would take it to each other. And I would submit to you, or I would opine to you, that what we should say is there is a movement to take pronouns that are non-gender specific and use them on individuals. And you have a problem with that, and I don't, but now you explain your problem. I think we just put the horse in front of the back of the cart again.
Well, I don't know how to solve what it is that you're complaining about, but I can certainly say what it is that I think. And here's what I think. I think that it's fine if somebody wants to transition from one gender to another. Right? Like, if sex is what you're born as, right, and gender is what you think you are on the inside, and that there's two choices.
Or maybe you get to pick on the inside.
What it may be what you are in the end.
You might be neurodiverse. I mean,
what's the difference between thinking it and being it?
What is okay?
Like my gender, which is exists
because
my gender exists specifically and wholly in my head, and my head is for thinking. So if I think I'm male, I'm male, right?
You're setting up straw man arguments for you to knock down, or straw women arguments, or maybe all of them arguments are straw thems. But what I'm asking you now, so that we can get on the same page, is do you believe that people are neurodiverse?
I don't know what that terminology means. Could you define it for me?
We're not conflating autistic people or people with autism syndromes with people that have different genders, but the person that is diagnosed with some kind of autism symptom or syndrome didn't think, oh, I am autistic. They just are. So if their nervous system is perceiving something differently or sending them different signals than what you or I might see in the same situation or feel in the same situation, they would be diverse.
Sure, I'll concede that point. I don't know entirely. It sounds like the cart and the horse, again. Like we're arguing whether the engine's in the front or the back of a Karmann Ghia, you know, here, and I don't know.
No, it's totally different from what you're saying. You're saying that they think, therefore they were going to interpret them themselves, rather than it could be an internal manifestation that they are being, just like when you, what is the word I'm looking for? But anyway, you're using the word, they think they are. No, they could be thinking they are, or maybe they just are.
I don't know the answer, right? Like, I've only existed in one body. And if somebody wants to pound the pulpit that, you know, hey, look, I'm the gender that I am because this is how I was born versus this is what I was socialized to be, because you and I would probably be different beings if men were socialized to wear dresses and receive flowers on their birthday and stay home and cook, right? Like, it would be a different world if that was the case. I don't know, and for the sake of the sort of Socratic method here, I'm willing to concede, sure, let's move on with the conversation. Fine. Women are a thing, and they're born that way, and men are a thing, and they're born that way.
So are we talking about sex or gender now?
I don't know, and that's where it gets all confusing, and I think that people use that confusion to express their uniqueness when there are so many better ways to express one's uniqueness, right? Like, so if I identified as an Apache helicopter, that's been used before, as my gender, then who is anybody to say otherwise?
The consensus of the people that you're dealing with probably are not going to accept an Apache helicopter, something that was built in a factory as an individual. Let's just bring this back to something that you started with, and that the language and the language changing, and most people 20 years ago would not be having this conversation we're having. They would think that the words of her description of sexual organs and sexual anatomies is the same as when we're talking about gender. But something has happened, and the culture has changed, or is changing, that those are two different things now. Gender is a spectrum of existence.
And when I choose not to use plural pronouns to describe something or someone that is singular, that isn't a violation of that person's human rights. That is a decision I choose to make. Like, I refuse. And that's where I've stopped, right? Like, I'm willing to accept gender transition. I'm willing to accept, I'm willing to hire people men who wear dresses. I'm willing to do all varieties of things. But I am not going to change my opinion that singular is plural and plural is singular.
All right. I won't try and change it.
That's all I would say. And here's what I think is that this pronoun thing has become an interesting lever for people, because when I say that my pronouns are she and her, and you don't use them, and you refuse to use them, I can become progressively, more upset, and I can go to human HR, and I can complain, and all varieties of bad things can happen to you because you don't want to play my game.
I think
that's wrong.
Just scenarios you're creating. Why don't we pick out something that's actually happening in the world and talk about that? But before we go through that, what was the pronouns that you used as an example of that you were being asked to be referred by?
In my imaginary situation, I was using je, jure.
So you were making up words?
No. You go to springfield.edu / gender pronouns, blah, 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 and you can see that there are there's she, he, they, name. That's a pronoun. The pronoun is name. It is it goes from name.
How do you spell
name,
the first one?
She?
Yeah.
S-H-E.
Oh.
It's she, her, hers,
it sounds
herself.
Like you're saying she.
Well, the G was another one. Now, I'm looking down here at the bottom. There is Z. They don't, I just looked up pronouns, and there's Z, Zir, Zers, and Zerself. There's also, that can vary with a here,
okay.
Here's,
well,
and Hereself.
Suggest
confused
that
yet?
You have so many pronouns it becomes absurd to try and keep track of all of them.
Like 47 of them.
All right. So, but let's bring it back to something that's more in the real world, is where you have someone that doesn't identify as purely male or female, and maybe they are asking for some other way of being identified with a pronoun. And we won't have to go through all the 47 pronouns to go through examples.
You don't want to learn how to use Z, Zerself, Verself, E, M's, and Earself?
No, I just don't want to try and do that in 30 seconds when I can't even understand your pronunciation of some of them. So I thought it might be better if we go with someone that a real news story, as opposed to scenarios we're creating, something that has traction in the media that's got people upset without even having to go into the 47th pronoun. We could probably stop at 7 or 8 pronouns, and people are already upset with them. And I've had it brought up to me at the recreation center, at the gym, at the pickleball court. I hear people talking about it, and it's a story that just from the last week has gotten traction, and it basically is a story that is being propagated by people with an agenda that has nothing to do with what the real story is. And that is the supposed law in Michigan that will cause you to be thrown in jail or fined $20,000 and charged with a hate crime if you don't use the pronoun that the person you're addressing identifies with, which is total shizzle for whatever people are talking about. So could we at least look at the story first?
Let's go ahead and look at the story.
All right. So the story that is going on, it spread rapidly. Misinformation, as I said. They're talking about, in Michigan, House Bill 4474. You don't have to take a note on that. You can just listen and say it's the pronoun bill. But it's like sort of the don't say gay bill. It's not a don't say gay bill. It's not a pronoun bill. But it does have another meaning, and we can look at that. And that is about adding other classes of people to hate crimes. The Michigan hate crime law was established in 1988. And if you were around in 1988, you probably noticed the difference between a lot of things that got people upset in 1988 and what gets people upset now. All right. So the original law would have been, you know, racial groups, some other groups like that. And what it does make transgender people or people of other genders a protected class. Now, what the phrases that people that are trying to make the point that you are under the possibility of imprisonment or fines or some kind of legal action against you is that the text says that any action that, and this is the quote, threatens by word or act is interpreted to mean something that if you use the wrong pronoun for someone that you have threatened by word or act. But an actual Republican who has voted for the bill in the Michigan legislature, Representative Graham Filler, says it doesn't criminalize words in the pulpit. You're not going to have a pastor that if he expresses his position or the church's position on gender or sexuality, it doesn't do any of that. A hate crime makes it illegal to intimidate someone based on actual or perceived characteristics, and it's defined as a willful course of conduct involving repeated or continuing harassment of another individual that would cause a reasonable individual to feel terrorized, frightened, threatened, or that actually causes the victim to feel terrorized, frightened, or threatened. You know, you're talking about intimidating. You're talking about threatening violence, the Republican state rep says.
I've seen people get arrested for, you know, being threatening by simply saying that, you know, that using the legal system to get what you want is a violent act, right? Like, I've literally seen – what's that?
Give me an example, please.
Right. My co-host, Ian, had when he moved into his house, there was a couch on his lawn. And because he is a recalcitrant, difficult person to deal with, he refused to move the couch. And a city bureaucrat, he called into a radio program, a local radio program, said to a city bureaucrat that her advocation for more laws in, and I can't remember what the area was violence, that she was using the police to perpetrate violence that she herself wouldn't do. And she lived on the same street as him. She drove by, she saw the couch, she called the law, The law came and cited him. He refused to move it. They took him to court. He, he was attempting to talk to the judge about it. The judge threw him in jail for contempt. And they drug him back out the next day for allocution. He allocuted, and that was from a Friday to a Monday, so it was like 3 days. And he fined and told to get the couch off the lawn. When he wasn't around one day, I came and had the couch loaded up in my pickup truck and drove it away. That's what happened.
So however unjust that was, how does that relate to this law?
People can reasonably assume that if somebody in power, i.e. a government bureaucrat, wants to enforce their interpretation of the law as opposed to the law itself, that's the way you may interpret it now, right, that they will get their way. And as far as I'm concerned, fear. there shouldn't be a hate crime. This is the slippery slope. This is what's coming. They may be wrong on this particular law, and I'm not saying that I agree or disagree. What I'm saying is it's coming. At some point in the future, somebody with purple hair and ambiguous outward gender is going to put out my pronouns. It's a hate crime against me. Believe me, it's coming, Henry. My claim is that it is coming. That somebody with purple hair is going to be in a legislative position. They're going to put forward a law. It's going to say, if you don't use my gender, if you don't use my pronouns, you have committed a hate crime against me. Yes.
But that's not the law now. That's not what's in this law. You're saying that you're going
to... It's not the way you or a politician that is voting to pass it interpret it. But that's kind of the problem.
And your examples are motivated by fear. We're going to have to take this...
Well, wait a second, Henry. This isn't the first time this kind of thing happened. Armed burglary was probably intended to be a law that said if you bring a gun while doing a burglary, it's a bad thing. But now it is enforced as if you steal a gun from a house, you've committed armed burglary. There's all kinds of mission creep in laws.
More on this when we come back.
The LRN.FM social media channels have been revamped. We've eliminated Facebook and focused on other platforms like Twitter and Mastodon, the decentralized alternative to Twitter. On our accounts, you'll find posts from multiple LRN.FM show hosts together in one place. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.lrn.fm, or better yet, move to the decentralized Mastodon social media platform at toot.lrn.fm, toot.lrn.fm. I think you'll like it.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. It was the power of the grand jury that led to the Gilgo Beach murders arrest. That's according to the Suffolk County District Attorney who led the investigation.
D.A. Ray Tierney says investigators first identified 59-year-old Massapequa Park resident Rex Huerman as a suspect in March of 2022, noting how a task force tied it all together.
They all did the same thing for a living. They all advertised the same way.
He says hair connected to the married father of two was discovered on the bodies of three of the four women. I'm Natalie Migliori, New York.
The Biden administration administrations for giving $39 billion in student debt for over 800,000 borrowers. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona said Friday the debt relief is a result of fixes to the student loan system's income-driven repayment plans. Under those plans, borrowers get their remaining debt canceled after they have made payments for at least 20 years. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Henry Reyes here, and this is my inaugural debut on the, I guess that's redundant, inaugural debut, but on the host here of Free Talk Live. Mark Edge is just holding his words for a moment to give me a chance to get started on this final trip around the topic of the Michigan law that adds protected classes to the 1988 hate crime law of Michigan. What was said in many stories around the country, and even, we're not going to mention any individual's name, but I've seen some posts from very esteemed people in the legal profession even talking about how they're worried that you're going to be thrown in jail, that you're going to be fined, that this is attacked. To attempt to silence people. House Bill 4474 in Michigan, it hasn't even become law yet because it has to pass the Senate there, adds protective classes, as I said, to the 1988 hate crime bill. And what is seems to be the issue with many of the people that are putting these stories out here, and I've heard this also from just your man on the street, if you will, or him on the street or her on the street or them on the street. The text says that if you threaten by word or act, that is in the law. I actually have the law too, but I don't want to try and get too technical on this. It doesn't criminalize words. This is what Representative Graham Filler and a Republican in the Michigan legislature said. It goes to the hate crime, and under the legislation, Intimidation is described as, quote, a willful course of conduct involving repeated or continuing harassment of another individual that would cause a reasonable individual to feel terrorized, frightened, or threatened, and that actually causes the victim to feel terrorized, frightened, or threatened. So let me just parse that a little. So there were two parts of that sentence. One is if the reasonable person, a reasonable person, as in the jury, feels that the behavior would cause an individual to feel this way. And then it's not or, it's an and. And the person that is alleged to be the victim feels that way. So reasonable people on the jury have to agree that the victim should have felt terrorized, frightened, or threatened. And the victim actually has to say that that's how they felt. And as Representative Fuller says, you're talking about intimidating, threatening violence. He also goes on to quote, this is not a sardonic teller at the bank, who I guess there's still banks with tellers that will be sardonic to you and not use the pronoun or refer to you as Mr. or Ms. or whatever you want. Anyway, so we have an ongoing conduct. So it's not a one-off. It's not that you were with somebody and they said, oh, they were in your face and they're not going to call you what you asked them to do. It would have to be something that went beyond there. It have to be like, I don't think you're a man. I think you're a woman, and I'm going to kick your butt. That would be a threat. All right, so now let's pick this up again for people that are just joining us. Mark, you are saying that I don't want to take the words out of your mouth. I heard that you are worried about how this mission creep on the law or the over-enthusiastic prosecutors will use this law.
Well, it's not like it's never been done before. In fact, it's these sorts of things are done all the time. And I do believe that there are people out there that interpret my lack of use of their or other people's pronouns as a hate crime. Like, they interpret it that way. Now, are they do they meet the reasonable person standard? I would say that the vast majority of cases in the United States never reach a jury. Like, I'm willing to go ahead and say 99.9% of cases don't reach a jury. So the opinion that a jury has is far less important than the opinion that a government bureaucrat that wants to get fame and fortune and perhaps be elected as the attorney general or even has aspirations to governorhood, maybe even the presidency, might very well, just go ahead and say, this is a great case to make my chops on. So, yeah.
So let's go that direction. So you're in Michigan, and you're in...
Well, this isn't just about Michigan, though. I mean, this is the news story, but it's coming, and there's 50 states.
And all these other media outlets are doing and just not going but with the facts. The facts is it's not even a Michigan law yet, but we're going to take that one leap that it becomes a Michigan law, and then it would have to be a local state's attorney that would bring this case. So you'd have to have a victim or a person that alleges they were a victim go to a state attorney, and the state attorney would want to take that to trial in front of a judge. And it's possible. Sure, it's possible, but it's highly unlikely, and it's more likely that if they did that, they'd get thrown out of court.
I think what's more likely is not a criminal charge, but a civil suit where you don't need a reasonable doubt threshold. You simply need a majority of the jury. And you have just a person who says, they fired me, but they really hated me because of my, whatever non-binary hood or whatever the situation is, and as evidence to this is that not my direct supervisor, but the supervisor that was adjacent to the direct supervisor refused to use my pronouns several occasions. And, I'd like a $1 million settlement. And then you have a business that is driven out of the state of Michigan into the arms of places like Florida, only empowering the other side. Because I'm not the kind of person here that says that all these people are kooks. I simply have a line in the sand that says, I don't believe that one should have to use plural pronouns to describe a singular situation.
All right. Tell me if I misstate anything here of what you just said. These excesses that could happen in as you constructed them in the civil case, I don't know that you can bring a hate crime in civil court. I think that it's, has to be a... but
I think that the hate crime is hate crimes.
You could... Pardon me?
I think the hate crime is hate crimes, right? Like, I don't think we should... That beating somebody up for one reason or another...
We're getting off point here.
Matters.
We're going to run out of show before we have even come to some kind of settlement here. So, but I'm giving you this. I'm saying someone could allege damages and they could go to civil court on this.
Yeah.
And that person could either have good intent or bad intent. They could be greedy or they could feel they were a victim.
Right. Lots of people are, feel that they're, you know, have essentially a court case is about a misinterpretation of reality, right? Like one side or the other.
Let me state what I think not is going to happen, but is happening as we speak, because all these stories are about what will happen when this gets abused. I'm saying that this law is being used as a tool for people that want to create anger and hate to people that are don't fit the mold, that are the transgender or their sexuality doesn't agree with them. What we have in this society right now is, in my 66 years on this planet, only in maybe 40 years ago, at the heights of the civil rights movement, the heights of Vietnam, have I seen this knee-jerk us versus them and the loathing that happens between people. And a lot of it is based on the fact that we have incentivized by profit, making a profit motive in getting people angry. When you get them engaged online, when you get that activity, and anger does it better than feel good, that causes you to want to make money, or you know how to use people to get their votes and to get accumulate your power. And I'm seeing it all over with this law. It's not about what is happening now with this law. It's all about, it's going to be abused. What about the fact that there is organized cottage industries that are making money by getting people fired up about transgenderism, fired up about sexuality? And let me tell you one other thing that I've actually heard and seen, and this is a little bit off of the hate crime. There is someone that Fox News has put on when they do stories about transgender. I don't know how frequently, but I have seen at least the one or two cases of this person. It's a former either Navy SEAL or Special Ops soldier who is a transgender woman now. And the quotes that I read from this person, and this is like 10 or plus years since the transition has happened, and the person is filled with regret on the transition and is on a crusade because it's alleging that there is a conspiracy to have thousands of sex change clinics in the U.S., that this is all a conspiracy to make a bunch of money off grooming kids and grooming individuals to make fortunes off getting people to change their sex into transition. Now, I've worked in the medical industry, and I said there is no way, even if this were true, there's no way this would ever be profitable. And that's what I would suggest is a real problem in a lot of these stories. Nobody ever thinks these things through, and, on the basis of, okay, let's say that's going to happen. can this even support itself? I looked up how many surgical procedures are done in a year in regards to gender transition in the U.S. This number may sound like a lot to some people. 8,000.
Now, this is adults? This is adults?
Over 18. you know, we could probably, there's probably not a lot of transition surgeries over age 60. But, you know, we can narrow that demographic down.
I'll bet you it's
8,000 a year. 8,000 a year. So let's say that those procedures would generate $10,000. I'm not going to go through all the math on this. But that would be a big number. That would be a big number for a procedure like that.
Yeah.
Knee replacements. Think of all the orthopedic offices you see and all the hospitals there are that are doing knee replacements. And like I said, 8,000 may sound like a big number to people, but think about the fact that there's close to 400 million people in the United States. And they're, you know, when you eliminate the oldest and the age and the youngest, you know, maybe there's a potential target, total addressable market is what I think they like to say in the tech industry, of individuals that you could do a procedure on. They don't necessarily want it. But, okay, there's this huge market that we're going to have thousands of sex change clinics around the world, around the country. 8,000 in that. Knee replacements. In 1 year, there's 800,000. So there's 100 times more money or 100 times more individuals actually seeking a procedure from a knee replacement to a sex change. Where is all the money coming that's going to create this sex change industry? I mean, there just doesn't hold up. You would need to generate, to keep a clinic open, you're going to have to generate a couple million dollars a year just to have the staff and everything else. This isn't going to happen. And the idea that because you've read a book or you see some movie that you want to have yourself surgically altered, unless you already feel that, which goes us back to the beginning of this conversation about being neurodiverse and the difference between thinking and feeling and existing. And I filibustered you there a little bit, Mark. I want to make sure you have time to come back, especially since this is your show.
Well, it's our show. Yeah. You're on it.
It's our show for today, anyway.
What I would say is that I don't know anything about this particular individual on Fox News that they get as a pundit.
No, you're
and,
not
but I would say,
or she's not imaginary.
Yeah, I don't believe she is. I believe there's lots of people that don't want to take responsibility for their own actions and their own decisions. And if she was over the age of 18, and it sounds like she was probably over the age of 30 when she made the transition, or he, I don't know. Then I don't know what else to do but hold her responsible for her actions.
You can pay her to come give a lecture at your right-wing group and get people fired up.
Right, and that's, to me, what's the ridiculous part. If you care about some guy wearing a dress or not wearing a dress, you've got, I mean, find better things to worry about. Now, I will say that I have some level of concern about the idea of parents, specifically crazy lefty parents, you know, encouraging their young kids to transition. But I've looked into this, and I've looked into it. And the conclusion I've come to is that the vast majority, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking about 80+% of the gender reassignment surgery that's done on people under the age of 18 is done on very, very young people who have ambiguous genitalia, who were born with ambiguous genitalia. And the doctor's like, well, it's a heck of a lot easier to make a vagina than it is to make a penis, so you're a girl. And then, you know, this creates probably a lifetime of problems. And I don't know how to solve that.
So you must have, and I'm not trying to contradict you, so you've probably looked at how that procedure actually is done. And
Yeah,
and it is, that's a heck of a procedure.
It's not something one would hope to undertake for their kid lightly.
I don't even feel comfortable describing it on the radio where people might be listening and disturbed by it. But it's
disturbing. There's no doubt about it. But even if I take the extreme circumstance where a couple of kooks that vote Green Party on a regular basis want their little boy who's playing with trucks to instead play with dolls. For whatever reason, they basically cajole him into sexual reassignment surgery. I hate it, but I don't want to use the force and the power of government to go after these people. That's their kid. And I don't want the government coming in and telling me how I'm going to raise my kid. So I don't want the government going in and telling them how to raise theirs. And as much as I may disagree with the way they parent, I've long held that most parents aren't qualified to be parents. But that doesn't change anything. They keep having babies. So if I want to be able to have my life the way I want to have my life, I've got to leave other people alone to have theirs. So that's my opinion on the subject is ew. But, all right, you do you.
Yeah, Mark, it's... We only have a few minutes here, but one of the things that you were talking about is that you had looked at something and maybe the numbers of those under 18 gender assignment surgeries was very small. One of the things I had looked at, and I hadn't looked at it before this show, the outrage about transgender girls in high school sports. Or in, or not even high school sports, in
sports.
College sports, too. And I'm looking at this quote as you were talking, and this is the quote. Of the 15 transgender athletes competing in high school sports, only two are transgender girls, according to the article by the Associated Press. Now, this is a Newsweek article dated April 21st, and I'm trying to discern whether that is, I think that's in the North Carolina. So in North Carolina, 15 transgender athletes, so transgender boys, there doesn't seem to be a problem with people worrying about the transgender boys out competing the boys who aren't transgender.
But yeah, they don't worry about that.
Transgender. So two in the whole state of North Carolina was, and I've seen the numbers like that around the country in like Utah and other places and Michigan. Where is it? The outrage? It might be there, but it seems like the outrage is profitable. I return to that point.
Well, what's the profit in it for being outraged over that?
Pardon me?
Like your media platform puts the story out and then people consume the story, that's the profit?
You can ask for donations to stop the abuse of the children that are being transitioned, getting
does anybody get to that kind of thing?
Pardon me?
I mean I get emails all day long asking me to donate to this thing or that thing, and some I believe in and some I think are preposterous, but I don't give to any of them.
There is an industry it's not like, Tesla, you're not making Teslas or something, but, then again, you're not making anything. So all the money that comes in is pretty much goes
all profit.
To mine.
Yeah, it goes to paychecks. High school athletes are probably the least problem here because very few young people are transitioning compared to people in their 20s, 30s, 40s. And, I think the 40-year-olds are probably out of most sports, curling and pool accepted. When you're talking about the few instances where an athlete is transitioning, I would say that if you are a young woman and you are competing against a young trans woman, and you lose, that there's going to be a percentage of those women that lose that are going to be bitter about it, and that their bitterness is going to resonate strongly, and that we will probably see some system for separating athletes that's different than I think I'm going to be a woman now, right? Like, it has to be something different. And I've heard of systems for checking gender, you know, like chromosomal gender. I've heard systems for checking the amount of testosterone, and that if you have a sufficient amount of testosterone, you're competing in the open class, which is the former men's class, and that you have to have about below this level of testosterone in order to compete in the women's class or whatever the case may be. But that it probably doesn't feel real fair to lose to, you know, for a girl to lose to a biological man.
All right, we'll leave it at that as far as this topic. I want to thank you for inviting me to join you on Edgington Post under the Big Free Talk Live umbrella. And it's been very interesting. There's a whole lot of points that we raised that hopefully we'll get a chance to continue on about that. And hopefully we...
Well, let's do it again next week, Henry. And this time, let's be in the same studio.
Is that possible? You aren't trotting the globe? Because I'm not going to be trotting the globe.
I will be there where you are.
Wow. Well, I guess I better clean up. Okay. My cats are already getting tense about the whole concept.
Well, we can do it at my house. Well, maybe we get to keep the dogs quiet.
All right. Well, it's been a great day, and we'll find out who had left that cocaine in the White House by the time we do this again. any last words, Mark?
No, thanks for everybody for trying out this new and improved Edgington Post, and hopefully the first show with Henry and I will result in many, many more.
See you on the radio.
Tired of cancel culture? Sick of mega tech corporations holding an axe over your head? Join the LRN.FM Matrix chat server. It's self-hosted, so no one else can tell us what to do or say. Don't like the existing channels? You can make your own. You can even connect into some of our channels from other Matrix servers. It's federated. For the full LRN.FM Matrix experience, though, you should join our server via the step-by-step instructions at chat.lrn.fm. chat.lrn.fm.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.